It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Tuesday, Cofield and Company, Steve, Willie, Mateo, different setting. We've been down to the Orleans many times, generally for basketball. Today, if you can hear in the background, the paddles are out. PR against PR, actually. Scott against Steve. Steve versus Willie maybe happens after the show. Ping pong. We got the World Table Tennis Championships going down at the Orleans in the arena. Awesome event. Love the sport. Not good at the sport. Are you good?
I've never played ping pong.
You've never played?
No.
Nothing with a racket. Tennis?
Tennis.
Any good?
No.
I was going to say, if you're good at tennis, you could be good at ping pong. Everyone I know who's good at a racket sport, they're pretty much good at all of them.
I could run a racket.
But yeah, I've seen you run a racket.
It would fall under the RICO Act. But,
all right.
No, I have not. But this is not the first tennis type event that I've been at the Orleans. I worked for World Team Tennis for the Vegas Rollers. Went a couple of years that they were in it. The first year was here, and then the second year it was at Greenbrier in West Virginia during COVID. So Orleans, we've been to a lot of events here in the Orleans. Yes, for sure.
You like covering tennis? Were there some famous people on the tennis teams back then?
Yeah, the twins. Who are the twins? The guys.
The Bryan brothers?
The Bryan brothers. Tom Young?
Well, you look it up.
The New York team was really good. It was stacked.
Right.
But over the course of, I think my favorite player, and again, the name, this was 5-6 years ago, Monica, she retired. Not Celis, obviously, but there was a girl, and she was dating a Cincinnati Red. She was on the team. Asia Muhammad. Vegas is Asia Muhammad. She played for the Vegas Rollers.
All right.
So, and then that first year Vegas Rollers were here, Billie Jean King was in the house because she obviously,
Hello.
You know, founded it.
Yeah, kind of famous. Sure.
You remember back in the day, Johnny Carson owned the L.A. team in the 70s. Did you know that?
Probably one time I did, but yeah, is that right?
Huh?
Well, he was a big tennis guy.
Yeah, major, yeah. Remember the Alan King Classic was here in the Caesars Palace.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah.
United States Smash 2025 World Table Tennis going all the way through the 13th, and you get more information at ussmash.com. We got NBA coming up. I wanted to actually open today with some conference stuff for UNLV. And by the way, we're going to ask everyone on the show if they're good at ping pong. Actually, in their little world, if they're the best at ping pong in their little world. I said last week, I know I'm not the best at the station because Doug Marsh is a good player. Doug played tennis. He was a JUCO tennis player, so I know he can play ping pong. But I would, in the entire station group, I'd be top 5, maybe top 3. Salerno says he's good, but Salerno says he's good at everything, and then he stinks when we see him.
In the entire MGM group, PR group here that I'm looking, there's no doubt in my mind. Seeing her Instagram stories, knowing what she does on the golf course, knowing how athletic, and not to mention that she makes clay pots, Allison is easily the best ping. My money's on her, above Steven Scott.
I mean, I was watching a little earlier.
Scott's mad dog.
It didn't really play out that way, but sure, if you want to score the points. Sorry, I was watching. I saw a little bit. I could lie with him, but yeah, there you go. Exactly.
Well. Allison took care of me last week when I needed something. She was real quick on it for me.
No, so. You're right. She's the best. I might need something in the future. Scott's like, not helping now. Not helping now. So we'll get to a little UNLV-related note in a couple of minutes. Yep, we're ready. Big news today with Grand Canyon. So we're going to build on that. And there is a conference member who's very angry about this.
Oh.
I know. The Disloyal Five bailing on the conference, but they're, for some reason, angry about not being
notified. We're going to talk about them being angry,
notified.
But I wonder if it's a clap back from their their in the pocket columnist who loves to always be on their side. But anyway, let's go.
So I'm Steve. That's Willie.
Yo.
How are you?
I'm good.
Okay. I do not want to botch your first name. Truce?
Truce. Yeah.
Truce.
That's great.
L or silent?
L.
Okay. So yeah. Truce. Okay. Morgard.
Yeah.
Okay. I knew I couldn't screw that part up.
You did it good.
So this guy is, he's young. I don't know if he knows what a boy band is, but I was checking out your Instagram. Looks like a boy band member, but he's a monster. Number 6 in the world. 2-time Olympic medalist?
Yeah, one in single and one in teams in Paris.
Which one do you prefer better?
It's controversial directly, but single is the one we're always playing. And it is a single sport in the end. So single was really cool. But to win as a team is also really cool. So it's nice in different ways.
I think this is one of those sports where it sneaks up on you if you don't follow it, if you don't watch it, if you don't cover it. But when you come out to it, the following, it seems to be, is pretty big.
Yeah, no, it's big. China is... it's the main country of table tennis. Obviously, it's everyone is watching there. Everyone plays table tennis in China, so it's a really important country for table tennis. But it's growing. After Paris, I feel that it's growing almost everywhere, in France and in Sweden now. It's really big, and it's really nice for table tennis. And to have this kind of big tournament in USA is also really important for the sport.
Right, World Smash, the Ping Pong Championships, Truls Morgard, 6th in the world, joining us. How'd you get started?
It was my dad and my big brother, who is my coach now. They started at a mini table tennis table at home, and we had some big matches there, a lot of racket throwing, a lot of angry moments in that small room. And it started from there, and I started to play good when I was around 10. Won a big tournament in Europe in my age, and then it kind of kicked off from there.
Did you learn the smashing of the rackets and throwing, or was that you on your own? Was that learned behavior, or you threw it?
It was probably my fault. Yeah. And my brother's fault for always beating me. But I wanted to be better than him all the time, so I had him as a comparison.
So the times I watched the table tennis, ping pong, the crowds they can get pretty, they can get kind of loud, which I like. I like playing tennis, but I don't like watching tennis sometimes because the players require the crowd to be quiet. How come you guys can play and have people all rowdy, but tennis players are kind of snobby about it? I never got that.
Yeah, I haven't thought about it like that. I think we have just been happy that people, when they are coming to watch, we are really happy. So for me, it's just at least, if you're here, then just do what you want. Just have fun, So maybe in tennis, it's a little bit different. There will always come a lot of thousands of people to watch, and it's not the same thing for us. We're happy if it is like that. So we are just letting them be. And for me, it's just fun. If they're having fun, the people who are watching, then I'm having fun.
Do you feed off the energy if it starts getting kind of rowdy?
I love it. I love when I play in an arena and there is people, but they are quiet, or there are no people. I'm terrible. I want to bring the people in, and I want to feel the entertainment of the sport and the energy. That's why I practice 6 hours a day, and that's why I play these kind of matches for the moment and for the energy in the match.
What would you say is the more accurate phrase? Players can cross over and play table tennis, or table tennis players can cross over and play tennis? What's more so?
I think table tennis players can go more easy to tennis. Yeah, I would say, because it's the spin in table tennis that is really difficult, but the movements and stuff are more to tennis. But when I watch tennis, I cannot believe how they can play so many weeks in a row and so many matches and so many hours. This, I cannot believe. They are monsters to me. So health-wise, impossible. But I feel in technique, it would definitely be possible.
So I'm a major gym rat at my age, and I ask this of every guy. We've had competitive eaters on the show, and we ask about their training. What type of training regimen? I would imagine there's a lot of maybe plyometrics and fast quick trigger movements in the gym to get the hand-eye coordination, a lot of things that maybe that hockey goalies do. What do you do in the gym to prepare for something like this?
Oh, I'm definitely not a gym rat. I really hate going to the gym, but I love going to the table tennis hall and practice for 5-6 hours because table tennis, like as a sport, is really difficult, I feel, and the Chinese have really shown the way that you need a lot of practice in the sport to be good, and so that's like kind of the practice I always do, and in the gym I just try to like get core strength and to be like strong in the shoulder so I don't break, because I need so much practice in the table tennis hall.
I'm going to get a little hardcore. We're talking to Truls Morgaard, who's one of the ping pong world table tennis players, number 6 in the world. Big money at stake here, right? Isn't the prize pool is pretty high? How much money is available?
I don't even know.
Really?
Actually not. I'm happy to be here, and I know that the money for coming here is good. And if we're playing really good, it's also really good. So it's not like tennis or golf or anything like that, but yeah, I should not complain too much.
How often do you guys have tournaments here? Almost never, right, in the U.S.?
Almost never. I think I was here the last time in 2021, and I played in Houston in the World Championship. I played really good there, so I have great memories of playing in America. They were really loud then, and they were screaming a lot of things, and I thought it was very fun.
So, Truls, I got to ask you, we have strict rules in this state. Nationwide media members love to, especially on the East Coast, they call it Nevada. It's Nevada. Do table tennis players get offended when people call it ping pong, or does it matter?
Ping pong is actually, when I go to USA, that's like the time I hear it, I would say. Because I would say it's table tennis. For me, you can say ping pong as well. It's fine.
So it's acceptable. It's not offensive.
For me, it's acceptable, but I would say that many players would say a little bit offended by it.
Okay.
So I want to get hardcore here for a second. I was doing some research. You use something called a European handshake style. Like, I just hold it like this. But there's a certain grip.
Yeah.
And does everyone use that, or has everyone had different grips?
I mean, there is either pen holder. That is like the Chinese got a little bit like famous for it, because they were holding it like a pen, and we are holding like a handshake. I mean, you can hold the racket how you want, really, but the normal is to hold it as a handshake, and yeah, that's how I play.
And then what's backhand blocking and backhand punching? What is that? Well, I really want to learn.
Yeah, it's difficult to explain, but backhand blocking is when you're a little bit passive and you want to put the ball on table, and okay. Backhand punching is when you go a little bit more hardcore, trying to win the point.
What country is China's number one country, you think, for participation? Or you were saying participation,
everything.
but like winning championships, is it number one?
Yeah, everything.
What's number two?
But I have to say Sweden now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is it?
Sweden is strong now. I would say Japan is always up there, and probably France. I would say it's the big countries right now.
So the U.S. any good at all?
U.S.? Kanak is good. Okay. He has been showing that for a long time. He has been top 20s, and he's very young. But in general, lately, maybe they are a little bit weaker. I'm trying to be also nice. but there is definitely potential in being a really good table tennis country, that's for sure.
We're at the Table Tennis Championship Smash here through the 13th. We're not here the whole time, but we're here this afternoon, and Truls Morgaard is with us, number 6 player in the world. Houston and Las Vegas. What do you think? Compare, contrast.
In Houston, it was the COVID times, so it was quite boring. I think it was outside. I took air, like, I was breathing outside like 2 times in 2 weeks, I felt. So I would say probably Las Vegas.
So, Truls, you get into this kind of sport, like tennis players, golfers, they have coaches or trainers. Do you have a personal one-on-one coach?
Yeah, I have. In Europe, I feel that it's more and more normal, but it has been a really like tough subject in Sweden, because I'm the only one who have it, and I want to bring him on every tournament, and then I want the financial support by the federation and stuff like that, but we have found a good way with that, so I have my coach as a personal coach, let's say, in table tennis. And my dad is doing all the management, so it's like a family business right now.
How old are you?
23.
23. So you're of age, but did your father and your coach in Europe advise you, listen, now when you get to Vegas, you stay focused, no strip action, no Las Vegas no Las Vegas strip. What were the precautionary, you know, when you come as an athlete to be told?
Yeah, the main focus is to keep focus on the table tennis, of course. But I love to do things. I love to see the world. I think that 98% of the table tennis players, they say they go to a tournament and they want to focus on the match and they don't do anything else. They sit in a hotel, and I think it's so boring. I mean, I travel all around the world just also to see the world. So I'm exploring a lot of things. I'm not making it like a regular thing on the day, but I try to do some small stuff every day here to see all.
Something that's stolen the light around the country, or around the world, excuse me, has been the WNBA, thanks to the rookie class from last year led by Caitlin Clark, and sort of the fascination, right, with the WNBA abroad. The Aces are in town this Saturday for a matinee game. I'm not sure what your schedule is like, but have you looked into, like, other things to sightsee and go? But would you do you like the WNBA? Would you go to a game?
Yeah, I would definitely love to go. I need to have, like, really good seats. I feel that, like, when I do, like, anything, I want to have, like, really good seats, because, like, the weekend was also here, like, a few days ago, but It was, the seats were, like, terrible, so then I was like, no, I want to have, like, the real experience. But definitely, I would love to go. And I saw also the Summer League is playing here soon. I'm a big basketball fan, so it's impossible to watch in Sweden almost, because always in the night, but I really love to watch the basketball.
Do you have a favorite favorite NBA player?
Like, at the moment, it's tough to not say Shai.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, I like the GOATs of sports, so LeBron I've obviously, like, been watching a lot, but needs to also say Luka and the European, the Victor Wembanyama, and they're really going strong for Europe.
There you go.
What about WNBA? Do you have a favorite player? Have you had a chance to sort of engage yourself with the WNBA?
Not that much, sadly. Caitlin Clark is, like, she's everywhere, and she's so cool. So that's obviously, like, the name, I would say.
Okay, Willie, I showed you a picture.
Yeah.
Of on Instagram. I see. Is that like a beer? That's almost like,
no.
No.
No. No. No.
Take that down.
No. 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 No.
You can throw one back every once in a while.
No, but that's actually a diet Pepsi going, like, with a lot of water in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it looks like a beer. But it was a fun time meeting Kigo there in the.
What'd you do? Where was that?
He was in the hotel having a small concert or small,
it's a day,
like,
club,
beach.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was really fun, and he likes table tennis. He watched some matches in the Olympics, so it was fun standing there with him.
All right. Well, we hope you win. We hope you win a lot of money. We hope you can extend your trip and stay in Vegas for a little bit.
Thank you.
Good conversation, and good luck in this thing.
I know that there's some good PR people around here. They were just here. I'm not sure. I can't see over my shoulder here, but they just may be able to get you into the Aces game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'll give them your people's name, and they may be able to get you in the building on Saturday if you're not playing.
Nice. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank
Good
you.
Luck. All right, we're coming back in a few as we're live at the Orleans Arena for U.S. Smash.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Going on, big table tennis tournament. I'm glad you asked the Swedish player about, is ping pong insulting? I hadn't thought about that. I mean, it does kind of sound like a clown name, doesn't it? But that's what we know it as instead of table tennis.
Right, and
you play ping pong, I play table tennis. Is that the way it works? And Griffin, I suspect that you play ping pong because your lack of athleticism sometimes is a big oaf with a little racket. I don't think you could do it.
I don't think I've ever been more insulted.
Well, that was the point.
You put a few Mike's Hard Lemonades, I already use a brand name, but you put a few in me, I'm going to be good at some ping pong / table tennis. I promise you that.
Okay. All right.
Well, it's you know, it's kind of like Griffin and I lift weights. Steve trains.
Well, I'm a hand-eye athlete. You guys are straight-line athletes.
Steve, I wouldn't even put you. I wouldn't. Don't even put yourself in the same phrase as athlete. Like, don't even use that word. Well,
we will go get. We'll go get some paddles in a little bit, and we'll see how it goes. I wish Scott had stayed too.
I'll text.
I would have blasted a few forehands at him. Actually, backhand's better. A lot of backhand. You want to go to my forehand side?
Pin strong.
All right, so Mountain West is going to have Grand Canyon, which is a big deal that was announced earlier today. It's a year in advance. Grand Canyon has built something pretty special, different model when it comes to universities, and their basketball program is well-funded. In fact, this will be a homecoming for Jaden Henley, who I don't think people were paying attention when most of the team left under Kevin Kruger. That's where he landed, and I was like, wow, okay, Grand Canyon of all places. I thought he'd go back to the Power Four, but that's where the former Rebel went. But instead of having a year in the WCC, and really what's the point? Because Gonzaga's leaving to go to the Pac-12, joining the disloyal five along with now Texas State, Oregon State, and Wazoo. So Grand Canyon this year is going to be playing in the Mountain West Conference, and their basketball program is dynamite. So it's going to be a really good basketball conference for a year, and we're already getting signs from down in San Diego that they're mad about it. If they need to get something out, they go through Mark Ziegler, who's a reporter extraordinaire at the UT. Anytime you see something kind of controversial or real opinionated, it's straight from Dutch's mouth. 99% sure on that. And he wrote a tweet today, Mountain West, despite previously indicating it wouldn't, allows Grand Canyon to join the conference a year early without the consent of SDSU and the other four departing schools.
Well, because they think that they're the Mountain West.
Right. They want out,
right,
but they still want ruling power. Now, you're gone.
Right.
I read all the stuff up online. All your fans, you're all worried about who you're leaving behind. Go.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, the vibe next week at Mountain West Conference Football Media Day is going to be real interesting.
It's going to be fun. The question,
fun's a word.
Questions we'll throw at. But you mentioned
fun's a word.
Basketball program well-funded. I will tell you right now, that entire athletic program has been well-funded before they even got to Division I. I brought this school up before. I have been down there in the summertime for off-season wrestling tournaments with their wrestling camp when R.C. LeHay was the wrestling coach, very, very highly regarded. And they weren't even on the radar, but they had been started, and they were giving me interviews. I was doing some little stories on some wrestling websites just about, to keep the parents updated on what the wrestlers were doing. But I was talking to them. They were like, yeah, well, no. The funding, the money that's coming in, we're talking like $2-3 million a pop in donations for each program. Baseball program, basketball program. Baseball program was really big down there, and I'm assuming still is, and will just continue to grow as it grows. So the entire athletic program, the facilities, and for where it's located, it's not necessarily located in a nice neighborhood, if you will, but it's behind the brick wall. Matter of fact, I was sitting in the parking lot listening live to Sports Talk Radio when Anthony Bennett was drafted number one. I was at Grand Canyon University. I don't know why I just thought of that, but because I was down there. I went down there
memories.
Twice, but off Camelback Road. I just say that because you said it's a well-funded basketball team. That's a well-funded athletic department, and that's why we've seen the growth so quick, and we've heard that name. And it's going to be big. It's going to challenge not just in basketball, all sports that it plays. There's not football, but you watch the noise it's going to make. Wouldn't surprise me if it challenges for the baseball.
And that's another big thing. I know UNLV baseball is very concerned about what's going to be around the program and the rest of the Mountain West Conference schools. On the way back, I got some football news for UNLV. Some honors coming out. All Mountain West Conference teams for Athlon, which I think tell you. Who may be starting in certain positions, or they're wildly horrible guesses.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
So we've been trying to keep up with the UNLV football recruiting as they're pushing 18, 19 commits now. They landed another big fella. We talked last week about just the profile changing on UNLV football recruits. And in this case, they land a big guy, Isaiah Broughton from Texas, 6'4", 315 defensive lineman. So there to get a local who's around that size. So you can see the biggins are coming in droves to play O-line and D-line. Different profile for Dan Mullen as he takes up recruiting responsibilities with Barry Odom off to Purdue.
Well, they need that. They need that on the line. They need that with, you know, to continue. And I think part of it, I mean, he's gone now. But Ashton Jeanty, you know, it's you don't know who the next Jeanty is going to be, right? So you want to make sure that you are covered. But when you have a guy like that leave the conference, I think part of a rebuild and part of a build is making sure that your defensive front is strong. And I think that's going to be something that UNLV is going to focus on, is making sure it has, you know, I think balance on both sides, a dominating defense and a lively offense.
364-1100, 364-1100. Let's do a giveaway of charity softball coming up this weekend. Battle for Vegas, 4-pack of tickets, VGK against the Raiders, Team VGK against Team Raiders. You can get your tickets at aviatorslv.com. It's out Las Vegas Ballpark. It is Saturday, July 12th. 4-pack of tickets right now, 364-1100, caller 7.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, rolling on table tennis, world table tennis. Don't call it ping pong. Now, he said earlier, Truel said, one of the players, number 6 player in the world, said, you can call it ping pong. That's what we call it in America. But table tennis, U.S. Smash going down here through Saturday, Orleans Arena. Go to ussmash.com to get your tickets. It's cool. It's rowdy. You're actually allowed to cheer. It's not like hoity-toity tennis. Stuck up. I'll tell you, this right now is a hard book. Coach McCartan, you got to see how much TV she's doing now in the New York area. We know she was on WFAN. We wanted to talk a little Evil Empires, a couple different parts of the show, because we want to talk Dodgers, but Dodgers just got swept in Milwaukee. Mets took 2 of 3 from the Yankees, but right now they both kind of stink. Daniel McCartan's up with us. What's up, Coach? Willie, Cofield here.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. And like, hey, I guess, in, you know, right now, unless you're a Yankee fan, that didn't go too well this
No, I was providing radio therapy for many Yankee fans in this area for the past 2 days.
Okay, so tell us what the fans are saying.
Oh, fire Boone, sell the team, boycott the team. It's the Cashman. He's got a lifetime contract. What does he have on Hal Steinbrenner? Like the usual. Every time there's a downturn, there's the usual.
Why didn't the series go the way for the Yankees?
Ah, man. Jeez. The defense was terrible. I just think the microcosm of Volpe throwing the ball out to Judge in center field after the end of that inning, and it hit him in the face, hit him in the eye. I think that was just the microcosm of the entire season. The defense was terrible. Base running was terrible. When they pitched, they didn't hit. When they hit, they didn't pitch. Couldn't put it together.
It's, you know, a lot of people are, you know, did the offense come to play or not? But, I mean, when you look at it on the whole, Daniel, this – I think more than anything, the failure has been on the pitching side. I mean, it's a collection of things, obviously. But do you think that mentally this team, because this started right now, right? They've lost 16 of 23 since June 13th. It started in Boston when they got swept at Fenway, because prior to that, they were on a winning run.
Yeah, I mean, the question is, do they have the winning mentality? Is that the question?
Well, I think that they've lost it, because, like I said, prior to that, they were on a winning run, an extended winning run. I think since early May, they had won something like 23 of 32. They were 23-9 from early May to June 12th. They go to Boston, they get swept, and then they've pretty much tanked since.
Yeah, I mean, I was with Aaron Judge this morning, and I had a couple questions about that, you know, directed towards him. And we were told, me and the other guy that were there, were told about, as he was walking over, so maybe 60 seconds, that he's answering no baseball questions. He has to keep it to the camp that he was doing in the Bronx. So I tried to get to the bottom of that. I just couldn't, but I tried. I tried my best, but... I mean, that's a serious question that we kind of explored this weekend on the Fan. The listeners and I was like, Well, what does the leadership structure look like there? I can't stand when Aaron Boone does his press conferences and calls him guardy and judgy as if he's on the same level as them. He is coach. They are player. There needs to be a differentiation. And I think it's kind of gray in that area, for one. And, I mean, how many guys on that roster have World Series rings? Bellinger and I don't even know. So it's like, okay, who's going to – that was the question I was going to ask Judge today. Who is the leader in that clubhouse? I mean, it's supposed to be him. I know that. But in other words, I was going to ask him, who does he think it is? Because people are losing faith in him as a leader. Like, the Mets called a players-only meeting. Another question I had to him this morning that I wasn't allowed to ask was, have you suggested a players-only meeting? Why hasn't it happened yet? So I think a lot of people around here are looking for accountability on the recent slide, and they're not going to get it.
Daniel McCartan, WFAN in New York. Wait, so specify again, what was Judge doing this morning?
I met him in Fordham University in the Bronx, and he was doing a camp for like 250 kids, baseball camp. It's 100 million degrees there today. I'm sweating my butt off, which you guys know. And, actually, Garrett Cole showed up, too. Garrett Cole, the two kids, and his wife, Amy, were there, too, to support.
By the way, I love that you go to his baseball camp, and you're all aggravated, and you're like, who's the leader, Aaron? Let's go. I mean, I think it's kind of weak of him not to answer some baseball questions, but I love if your tone was going to be that when you asked the questions, then I kind of understand why he's like, yeah, I really don't feel like talking baseball today, Daniel. Take it easy.
Yeah. No, certainly it was not going to be like that. I'm just frustrated, just like everybody else is around here. But I was certainly going to phrase it a lot better than that.
Okay, if they make a big trade,
yeah,
what do they need to get? Do they need a starting pitcher, or do they need to land one of these third basemen that might be available?
Well, it's not if they make a trade. They're going to have to make a trade. And you saw earlier this morning, they said that Jazz Chisholm Jr. is going to go back to second base where he is normally used to playing, which was great news to my ears because everybody on the team is playing out of position. I can't stand it. That kind of signals to me that unless Oswald Peraza gets going over the next 5 days, they're going to be looking in the third baseman aisle. And I just think Eugenio Suarez, for the right price, he's on an expiring contract. He would give – the production at a third base from the Yankees is like 27th in batting average. Like, it's abysmal, right, ranked in the league, no matter who plays third base for them. So Eugenio Suarez, I looked, he would give an immediate jolt to that offense and probably a better glove. But he would be my target. I looked into a couple others. I looked into Matt Chapman. He would be good, too, but that would be a long-term commitment. I'm not sure if he'd want to leave San Francisco. I looked into Ke'Bryan Hayes, which would be a fantastic story, wouldn't it be? The son of the guy who caught the last out with a broken hand, by the way. He told me he was hoping it was going to be hit in the air, not on the ground, or else he wouldn't have been able to throw it. So that would be a great story, but offensively, defensively, Ke'Bryan Hayes would be a lateral move for the Yankees. So I did turn over a few stones, but the best I found was Eugenio Suarez. That's who they need. And they need some pitching now, Clark Schmidt going down, but for me, an everyday player is probably more valuable in this trade market anyway than a starting pitcher.
Well, I'm glad the way you said that at the end, because I think they need starting pitching. The problem is everyone needs starting pitching. So the market for starting pitchers for good ones, the price is going to be incredible. Because frankly, you look across over Queens, and the Mets have been, you know, kind of a ragtag group here with a bunch of number four starters who exceeded expectations for the first 70 games or so, but that's all come back to earth. They're like 7-15 over the last 22. I mean, I would think the Mets would absolutely be in the market for a top-notch starting pitcher. They have to be, right?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, Kodai Senga is going to pitch Friday for them, and then Sean Manaea is going to do split duty with Clay Holmes on Monday. One out of the bullpen, one to start. But my concern is this. Like, Clay Holmes has never been a starting pitcher before. He's pitched 93 innings so far this season.
Yep.
That's a career high. So, like, you're going to need an insurance policy just in case, knock on wood, something goes down with Clay Holmes, that you could rectify that. So I looked at a whole bunch of starting pitching. Steve, there's not much on the market. Seth Lugo I looked into, Andy, Zach Eflin, the guy from Miami, Sandy Alcantara. Like, there's not a lot that sticks out to me. So if I was going to make a move as the Yankees or the Mets or anybody, the top of my list would be really Seth Lugo. If the A's are willing to part with Luis Severino, I would do that move too. And I guess Mitch Keller out of Pittsburgh. But we got to see what they're asking for, too. I mean, they know that they've got the league by the you-know-what. So they could charge whatever they want.
Evil Empire's not doing so well, not so evil right now. Danielle McCartan's with us in New York, WFAN. She does WPIX on the Yankee side of things. I've been seeing you all over the place. You're doing a lot of late-night shows. What's the exposure been like in terms of the other networks?
Oh, man, it's been great. I mean, just Sunday, I worked until 1 o'clock on the Fan, 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m., came home for about 2 hours, let the dog out, and then ran back out to go back to New York and pay the $19 toll again and the $9 congestion pricing again.
Come on!
And I went to do ridiculous. I went to do Pix 11. That was on Zoom. And I went and I did it from NBC Studios, 30 Rock, which was so cool.
That's cool. Yeah.
And then I went on a nighttime show with John Chandler, our local sports guy, at 30 Rock. He gave me the whole tour, Jimmy Fallon studio, the whole thing. It was cool. And then right from there, I walked literally across the street to where Fox News is, Fox and Friends, sure. that Fox. And there was the New York Post. I did a video interview with the New York Post, too, about the Mets. So
beautiful.
Sunday was very busy, but I'm still recovering. But it's fun. I love it. It's so fun.
So this is a big series coming up this week. The big dumper is coming to town, Cal Raleigh with Seattle. Let me tell you, if Raleigh goes out, say the Mariners win the series, Raleigh goes out and hits like 5 home runs and starts to leave Judge in the dust, it's going to be chaos. People are going to start flipping out.
I mean, look, the Mariners are they're really coming along. So this is not going to be a slam dunk series by any means for the Yankees, especially the floundering Yankees. So, I mean, it's supposed to be hot next week, and the ball flies out of the ballpark in the Bronx when it's hot. So expect mini fireworks between both Cal Raleigh and Aaron Judge. If I'm betting, I would make sure I would bet the both of the parlay and the both of them, the home anytime home run, the both of them.
I saw that Toronto and some Canadians got pissed off at Michael Kay, who said the Blue Jays aren't a real first place team. Do you know what he's talking about?
No, I didn't see that.
Okay, you didn't see it? Yeah, he said they're not a real first place team. Like, what do you mean? They're in first place. And by the way, before people get shocked by some kind of trade, the Blue Jays have always had money. Now they're spending it. They could get in the Yankees' way, and they should. They should block anyone the Yankees want to try to get or the Mets try to get.
I mean, they just swept the Yankees. The Yankees went into Toronto in first place, and they left Toronto in second place. So I don't know if Michael Kay's on the mark with that. I love him, but I'm not sure he's on the mark with that one. He's been very helpful to me and all that. But, I mean, this division all of a sudden is shaping up to be a tight one, right? The Yankees are running away with it. Now they're not. And this is and the Blue Jays, I mean, look, they've got the pitch. They've got the hitters, Bichette and et cetera. And I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Vladimir Guerrero Jr., like all those guys on that team, you're right. They should get in the way of the Yankees for anything that they plan to do.
If the Yankees aren't careful, they're going to fall below the team whose home stadium is the Yankees' Grapefruit Stadium.
Triple A stadium. Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. Yeah, the Rays actually have had a pretty good year.
Under the radar, pretty good year, right? All of a sudden, you look at the standings and you're like, oh, well, the Rays are only 4 games back. The Yankees are 3.5. And they come out of nowhere. The Rays always come out of nowhere. They never spend any money. They develop the guys, and you're like, oh, here they are. Like, whoa, what the heck? How did that happen? So, yeah, keep your eye on the Rays. Red Sox aren't far behind either, 6.5. But I think the biggest surprise in the division, to be honest, is the Orioles. 12 games back, bottom of the barrel. That's what were you guys expecting that? I know I wasn't.
No, I didn't expect them to be in the bottom. But to your point about the Rays have somewhat become like the Cardinals. Like, it doesn't matter where the Cardinals are at any given time. You can always expect them to do something. I think that's what we're seeing from the Rays. Like, they're just, they're competing. I mean, they're 28-25 in their minor league stadium. They are 21-17 on the road. So, I mean, they've got winning records, and there aren't too many teams that have both a winning record at home and away.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm looking at the roster right now. I mean, Jake Magnum, Chandler Simpson, like, who are these guys, and they scout well. The Rays have always scouted well.
I was going to say, here's the deal. Their players coming up from AAA Tampa, who are actually productive, and right now the Yankees haven't had a lot of help from the farm system. They just haven't been scouting that well. They haven't been producing guys at the top level. We got about 90 seconds left. I got to get your view before we get you out of here. Daniel McCartan's with us from WFAN in New York. We're talking about the evil empires, the Mets and the Yankees, not doing so well of late, although the Mets took the Subway Series. Okay, it took almost 5 weeks. The Knicks fire Tibbs. They bring in Mike Brown. Did you guys have a lot of like positive Mike Brown vibes? And what happened with the Knicks here? Why, if you're going to fire a guy, why weren't they ready to hire someone within a couple of days?
Yep, that's the whole point. It sounds like they fired him without a plan, and they were denied by the first seven people they tried to talk to, and then landed on Mike Brown. He had the press conference today. I haven't seen it in its full and entirety yet, but I can't get excited about him. How do you fire the guy that brought you to within two wins to get to the 20? The Knicks went the farthest they have since 1999 when NSYNC was popular. So, I mean, I don't understand it. I can't justify it, and I feel terribly for Tom Thibodeau, and yeah, good luck to Mike Brown. It's going to be NBA Finals or bust for him. That's the expectation now.
I know, especially since you're dealing with an Eastern Conference that seems wide open, so the expectations are not going to drop because they didn't get a high level coach. I think Mike Brown's good, but the expectations will still be make the Eastern Conference Finals or make the Finals. No, you're right. It's actually make the Finals now.
Yeah, because you fired the coach that brought you that far. You hired a guy that has to get you the next level. That's in my opinion. So
good point.
I mean, good luck to them. I don't know. The East is wide open, so we'll see.
Danielle, we appreciate it.
Yeah, Steve, anytime. Willie, anytime.
All right, we'll see you. Have a good week.
All right, you too. Bye, Steve. Bye, Willie.
There she is, Coach McCartan, Danielle McCartan from FAN in New York. And I would not be shocked if even the Orioles make a run. They have had horrific injury luck. They've also had a bunch of their second- and third-year players because their farm system's awesome. And when you stink, you have a chance to have a really good farm system. You got to nail it in the draft. But they've had so many guys underachieve from expectations. But watch what happens if they take off in the second half.
They put together runs. It's like you said, that it's just that the injuries have kind of done them in. And that's been the division that has seen sort of a lot of teams. I mean, Boston was at the bottom, and then they made it. Now they won 7 of 10 going into today's game against Rockies and won 4 in a row. And people always talk about how far back they are of the division leader. I'm always looking at the wild card race because, in reality, that's what they're going to be. That's what the teams in the clubhouse, they're going to say, hey, let's get into the playoffs. Then we'll worry about the division because with what comes, you know, in playing for the postseason. So, in reality, the Red Sox are two games out of the wild card race. The Yankees and Rays are in the wild card right now.
4 o'clock hour is on the way. Willie wants to talk ice cream sundaes. We're doing it.